Hey, this is John Lee Dumas of the award-winning podcast, Entrepreneurs on Fire, and you're listening to the Excelsior Journeys with George Soroy. Prepare to ignite.
So would you say that that's kind of like the lightning bolt moment for
you? And that's
why
I taught myself how to draw, was actually the Little Mermaid, drawing stills of Ariel.
I've got better things to do tonight than die.
Sylvester jumped out of his chair and said, who the F is this?
I remember walking out of the theater with him saying, I'm going to write Halloween.
I'm rather impressed with your research. Rarely do people ask me about Children in the Corn.
It doesn't have to be perfect. Just do it. You know, throw some spaghetti against a wall. See if it sticks.
This is George Soroy saying to all of you, ever upward. Welcome back to Excelsior Journeys, the road to creativity. This is George Soroy, and thank you so much for being here. One of the things that I love to hear about is different authors' takes on different types of stories, especially ones that we have known for decades. I've had several guests on the show that have talked about their own reimaginings and their own books. I've had K.M. Robinson, Lee Savage, and now I have Bria Rose. Bria Rose has gotten into the game with her book, Her Dark Promise, a Beauty and the Beast style retelling, and it is already out. It's been out since October of last year. Make sure to reach out to any bookseller you are familiar with and grab a copy. You can also check out Bria's website at authorbriarose.com. I am really excited to hear not only about Her Dark Promise, but also about the other projects Bria has in the pipeline. It's always great to hear from a new voice in writing, and I'm really excited to have her here. So it is my pleasure to introduce this week's guest, Bria Rose. Bria, how are you?
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited.
Me too. I'm always love hearing from different creatives, always love hearing from especially different authors, since that's very much a part of my life as well. It's always great to hear from someone who reaches out and says, hey, I got this book out right now. I'm glad to see that people consider this show a great spot to go ahead and talk about their own journeys and seeing where things go. So thank you very much for being on the show.
Yeah, we get to talk books. That's always my favorite topic of conversation.
So since Her Dark Promise is currently out, can you tell us a little bit about the story?
Sure. So I have done quite a bit of book signings since December of last year. So I'm going to give you my elevator pitch. This is a dark romance. Why choose Beauty and the Beast retelling with a twist, where Belle is the Beast? Beast and Gaston are brothers who get trapped in her castle. A lot of chaos ensues, a lot of spicy time, and a really fun ride.
Excellent. Excellent. That sounds like a blast. And that's a really unique take on things, because usually people think of trying to do a modern take on it, or if someone was just disfigured in some way, or trying to do little twists and turns here and there. But it sounds like you've turned the whole thing on its head with this idea.
I have. I don't really know exactly how it came to be, but I just like the idea of the Beast not having any disfigurements or even being a male. I thought it would be interesting to see it from a female's perspective, where sometimes we can be seen as too emotional. Human beings in general are complex creatures. Mm-hmm. I really wanted this story to center around her journey through hundreds of years of isolation, because she is cursed. So hundreds of years of isolation, guilt, regret, anger, passion, because she's also sassy, sexy, and intelligent. Like, she's all these things in one. But this book really is just about her journey of overcoming her past and getting back some of that self-love again. Her love interests, they are their own people. I wouldn't say they're the main characters, but they're also not the side characters. They very much are prevalent in my story. We all get a lot of time with each one of them. There's three. I feel like a lot of stories, it's because of the love interest that X, Y, and Z happens to the main character. They have a lot to do with their journey, but really it's her, they're assisting her, they're helping her. So instead of outright, you know, like, okay, you need to make this decision, they really just, okay, she's mad, We gotta deal with this kind of emotion and then assist her. Like, hey, we should really break the curse. She's like, but I don't want to. She's like, no. But you do, because you talked about it in your journals. She's like, so it took, you know, a good 100 pages for her to cut. Actually, it's a little long of a book. But it took a minute for her to realize, okay, maybe I should accept some help. So I really like all of their dynamics.
she's very much of the, I don't need anyone's help, I can do this all myself mindset.
But she was forced to be that way. So I love the journey that she goes on. First, you meet her in the middle. So you meet her in the 1700s when she was actually born in the late 1300s. She has been cursed for 370 years. Now, my book has a lot of Easter eggs. I chose that number specifically to match with the time frame of when Beauty and the Beast was said to have taken place, like somewhere in the 1700s. I chose 370 because that's the amount of people that, when I did my research, that's how many people worked on the Beauty and the Beast film. So I have a lot of little Easter eggs.
It's a great way to honor those people that worked on that.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely incredible. She's known as Calathea Rose Everhart. We all know why Rose, but Everhart, if you don't, I am a huge IMDb nerd. Whenever I'm watching a show, I will have that up. It's one of my most used apps because I like looking up fun facts. So I also wanted to incorporate some names into my book, but not names like Gaston, Lumiere. You know, those are, I feel like Disney might be like, hey, what are you doing? So I'm like, okay, how about this? How about I use some of the voice actors' names? So I got really lucky, and Everhart is the last name of the voice actor who played Maurice. So there's all these Easter eggs.
Very nice. Very cool. And there's definitely a lot to choose from. Did you think to have a couple of side characters named Alan and Howard by chance?
No, but I should have. I might do that actually in an upcoming book.
Ooh.
You gave me a really good idea because those aren't names I normally choose. I normally choose not unique names, but something that would fit a medieval time era.
Yeah.
Of course, that would totally fit that era. So maybe the next book, I'll add that in there.
Glad I can help.
Thank you.
It sounds very Disney focused. Obviously, the Beauty and the Beast tale has lived on for quite a long time before Disney created the definitive version of it. I'm not saying the 2017 live action. I'm saying the 1991 animated one. If you become the first animated film to be nominated for Best Picture, you're obviously doing something right.
And someone just brought to my attention, like, you know, the Grimm stories, I should start adding some of that in there if I want a little bit of like horror. My genre is dark romance. With the dark side, there comes trauma. There comes things that definitely would keep my book off a school shelf. Dark and twisty, eerie, spooky is within the realm of what I'm interested in writing. This book is heavily inspired by Disney's Beauty and the Beast because that is my entire personality. I wish I had behind me, or you can't even see, but I want to set it up to where I have my Beauty and the Beast collection. I'm changing my last name to Rose.
I was thinking you would have mouse ears.
I think I do have Belle mouse ears. I've made her into my entire personality. This book truly is like an homage to her and to this story that, oh gosh, I don't remember her name. I don't remember her name, but the woman who actually got the, because she was given the script for Being the Beast, like, hey, we don't really know what to do. She's like, oh, but I do. So the woman who essentially brought Beauty and the Beast to life, I owe everything to her. So I really wanted to pay tribute to the story. But going further, I definitely want to incorporate.
Do you mean Linda Wolverton?
Yes. Thank you. Oh my gosh. I've been wanting to write her a letter for years. Okay. She was actually so good.
I'm going to stop you right there and say absolutely do it. Because, and I'm going to tell you why. This is a story that I've told many times on this show, but it's something that always bears repeating. I got to do this yesterday when I was interviewing someone else for this show. Back at the end of 2016, we lost Carrie Fisher. In 2009, I got to meet her in person because she had done her show Wishful Drinking on Broadway. And I was able to get my playbill signed by her. And I was able to even ask a question about her participation in the commentaries on the Star Wars DVDs that had come out 5 years before. But the one thing I did not say was, by the way, you're the first person I've ever met who is connected with Star Wars, and I wanted to say thank you. I did not do that. And obviously, I'll never have the chance to do that. So I always say to everyone, if you have an opportunity to tell someone thank you for something they've done, then take it. But definitely do that, because you don't want to live with the regret of not doing that and then finding out it's too late.
Oh, I agree. And Linda Wolverton, she just is the reason why it came to be. So I feel such, you know, big emotions with her. But Paige O'Hara, I actually got to meet in person twice at D23 a good chunk of years ago. And I was an emotional mess. I couldn't stop crying. I got to say what I wanted to say to her. And she hugged me. Beauty and the Beast spell specifically, like, really saved my life. I was bullied when I was younger. Not getting too into it, but I really just clung on to the idea, like, Belle wouldn't fight them. Belle wouldn't do this. She would hold her head high. She's intelligent. She would, you know, stick, you know, she would read her book. She would mind her business. Unless it came to her family, and then she'll fight for what she wants. But she would take the high road. So I really got to say thank you for helping me to stay grounded during those times. She hugged me and said, don't let anyone ever make you feel less than. I mean, those aren't her actual, like, that was basically her words, but I kind of blacked out a little bit when she hugged me. Yeah, so it was beautiful. I cried. I could barely get a word out. I actually purchased one of her paintings.
That's great.
I said, hey, can you please say that you love me? And she did. She said, Brie, I love you, in all caps, Paige O'Hara, a.k.a. Belle. And I'm just, it is, if there was a fire and my mom was in it, I'd go for the painting first. I told her, I'm sorry, Mom, but you got legs. You can handle it. You're
yeah, why not?
She's like,
at least you're honest.
She understands. She gets it.
I love it. It sounds like you've definitely taken ownership of the story, kind of taken this little sliver of it and added to it, kind of like in another Disney film, Moana. How there's the stones that everyone puts on top of the mountain showing where they are. Each tribal chief adds to that rock. And so it's kind of what you've done here. You kind of taken some of Beauty and the Beast and said, this is my contribution.
I love how this story has affected people in different ways. Even the bad reviews, like the 1-star, 2-star, 3-star, they're nice. A lot of those are just not my story. You got a warning in the beginning of the book that it might not be your story. Dark romance is a genre that is not for everyone. And that is okay. I accept it. Someone did a 1-star and then commented a star emoji. One-star emoji. And I'm like, you know what? Thank you so much for giving me a star. I'm a star. Thank you so much. For a lot of people, you know, like, it's just, they're all really nice. You know, they all say, like, this is an amazing story. Maybe a little too long. Maybe a little too this. Maybe a little too that. But the majority of small potatoes compared to the amount of people who are like, the story needs to be told. I won't stop thinking about the story for a long time. The fact that I created something that I spent blood, sweat, tears, countless hours, sleepless nights, has affected just a huge group of people. Sometimes I just am in shock. I did this and people are having this reaction. Incredible, awe-inspiring, and kind of not unbelievable, because it is truly believable, but it's kind of like, whoa, this is awesome. This is a really cool journey.
Nice. Very cool. And I have to ask, since you mentioned how you were bullied as you were younger, are there bully characters in this?
Yes. I actually want to write a book separate from this where it is heavy on the bullying. You know, it's kind of like not a bully romance, but kind of. But I do want to do a book that highlights those struggles because of what I've gone through, especially for characters who are loud, outgoing, talkative. Normally, those are the characters that are the side characters. They're the ones who die first. They're the ones who get marked as just a whatever side character. Normally, the main character is mousy, cute, tiny. I am a big personality. I take up a lot of space. And I've had some people be like, oh, a little too much. I'm like, okay, if I'm too much, then maybe go find less, which is a line in Dove Cameron's song, Too Much.
Oh, well, yeah.
It's so good.
It's so damn catchy. It's not my style of music choice, but damn, it's catchy.
I'm like, girl, are you talking to me? Because that is going to be the anthem, just me, myself, and I. I mean, it is an anthem to my Instagram account. That is the song that I chose because I am too much. And I think there is a space for these types of characters to fit into main female character in, or main male energy, just main character energy. Mm-hmm. And that is okay. It shouldn't be the comic relief of a story that this person, oh, I'm the class clown and that's all I'm good for. No, we have depth. We don't talk all the time. Like when I get quiet, they're like, oh, what's wrong with you? I'm like, I'm just tired of talking. So, you know, I'm just deciding to be quiet. We have space. We have main character energy.
Glad to hear that. One of the things that I love to hear about from my guests is what I call the road to creativity. And that's when you either experience something or read something, write something, and just decide, ooh, that's the path I want to take. So you're currently on one path, but then you decide that you want to get on that exit ramp, and all of a sudden you're on a whole different highway, and you're feeling much more comfortable because you're where you are spiritually. You just feel like this is where you need to be. The story itself inspired you in this way. But how did you get involved in writing in general?
I am a long storyteller book. That
format
is a little long.
Format is here.
So I will shorten and tighten it up. I'm really excited to talk about this. Thank you so much for asking this question. It's one of my favorite questions to answer because, you know, just has shown me how far I've come and the different paths I could have taken. In high school, a friend and I had a falling out. Don't worry, I got the book in our little breakup, so I feel like I came out on top. Nice. We had started this back in high school, then put it down, picked it back up, put it down about 10, 11 years. I picked it up about when I was 26, and I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to write this. I finally felt like I was in a place to write it. Thank goodness I didn't write it back in high school. You write what you know. Mm-hmm. Love the shopping montages and movies. I think it's time. Don't know what was that deciding factor, but I had just come back from Disney. Mm-hmm. It was a little bit before COVID, but I had just come back from Disney, not knowing what to do. My career was Disney. I have my master's in communication studies, my bachelor's in liberal studies. I really could have done anything, but I don't know what I want to do. Out of nowhere, I got bit by the writing bug and I got infected. This is now your new path. So nice. I wrote the book that we worked on in high school. 3 months it took me to write 70,000 words. I was morning, noon, night. I was writing quite a bit. It just was flowing. It was crazy. Gave it back to her. She's like, I can't do nothing with it right now. She's like, I'm busy, but I want this to be a thing. So when I was in the shower, I had just come off of reading ACOTAR by Court of Thorns and Roses, for those who don't know, by Sarah J. Maas, which is the first book. It's marketed as a Beauty and the Beast retelling. I got the idea for the ballroom scene in my book. And I'm like, oh my God, I think this is what I want to do. So I sat down and I wrote it, got an editor. She helped me fix it. We went through it for about 2 years. And now I have a book. People always ask me, do you outline? Do you have a degree? I'm like, no, I just write what feels right. Character development. I didn't study it. When they say, oh, you should do this type of plot structure. Oh. And I'm like, okay, that makes sense. Those are big hitters. We have a roadmap, but that's not me. I don't know how to do it. I really came into this game not knowing anything. It's definitely been a learning experience and it has been a wild ride on this whole process, but that's kind of like where I started and then where I am.
Excellent. And it definitely sounds like you are a pantser.
Yeah.
Definitely fits in with pantser, but that's fantastic that you're able to do that. Yeah. It's very much the opposite of what I do because I try to get everything out into that one foundational draft, build up from there. In my head, everything has to be perfect. So always trying to get it right on the first try. And I'm watching my daughter going through the same thing. She started her book and is getting very frustrated. It breaks my heart to see that because I know exactly what she's going through. And I want to change that for me so that way she can see where I'm going with that. Hopefully she'll be able to change that for herself. I am always so envious of those that can just spit out a draft so quickly, because it's literally just laying the foundation for your book. No,
it's not.
It's nowhere near going to be. I've said many times to people as well, they've asked me about National Novel Writing Month and saying how it's like, yeah, you do a 50,000 word draft of a novel. It's not a 50,000 word novel. You're not hitting publish on December 1st. You're pouring the concrete. When the concrete is poured, are you ready to move in? No. You got a lot of work to do on the house. So stop thinking about the color of the curtains and get the rest of the house done. So
100%. And that's like my biggest, you know, advice to people. Just write, because I'll make notes along the way saying, I didn't like this, come back. I'll highlight throughout my document because I write on Google Docs. Now, is that the correct thing? I don't know, but it works for me.
If it works for you, then it's the correct way.
There we go. I actually have coined the term puzzle writer. Ooh. I'm a puzzle writer. To me, what that means, I don't know how my story is going to go. I have an idea of how I would like it to go. But what people don't realize is that once we set the characters up to be certain personalities, they make their own decisions. The book I'm currently writing is for So just real quick, just so when I talk about it, everyone's like, what are you talking about? Since publishing, a few months into my book being published, I got an email and was invited to sign on with One More Chapter, who is part of HarperCollins. So I'm currently writing a book for them.
Peace.
Yes, very exciting. They're like, congrats. We love it. I'm like, are you sure you want to take a chance on me? We love it. We have an idea and we think you're perfect for the story. Okay, lots of pressure, but I'm ready to take this on. And I can't talk about it yet, unfortunately.
Gotten there. And that's something so many people want to do.
It's due Tuesday, so right after this, I'm going to go right back. I actually wrote 20,000 words in a week. Wonderful. I'm trying to make it not perfect, but as perfect as possible. That story, everyone knows it because it is a retelling. If you keep up on my journey, in a few months, I'm going to be able to talk about it. And you're going to be like, oh, how interesting. I have a black female main character. She's black cat energy. I have her love interest dash also main character, because we also have his point of view. Yeah. He is a morally gray golden retriever energy with antisocial personality disorder.
Ooh.
This boy has no emotions, but he's absolutely obsessed with his girl, and he's unapologetically obsessed. So it's been a very interesting take. Now, with those two energies, one who doesn't trust humans and one who I almost gave it away. I'm too excited. Yep. If I put these characters into a perilous situation, let's say someone attacks them and he doesn't have any emotions. We have his girl and her best friend. I'm going to have him go after his girl first. He has no connection to this other person. Even though she's family to her, he's not going to go after her. He's going to be like, no, she could die. I don't really care. You're the one I care about. So of course, his first instinct would not be to, even if she was right next to him, his first instinct probably wouldn't be to save her. It would be all eyes on his girl. Wow. You know, so there's just certain situations, again, for non-writers who don't understand. Once you write these characters, it really writes itself. So what I mean by puzzle writer is that I write the scenes that give me the most joy, excitement, anger, sadness. So whatever big emotion I'm feeling, I'm probably going to see it in my mind's eye, because I can't write what's not in my head. That's why I really like books and anime, TV. I go on walks, have fun conversations with friends, that anything that help give inspiration.
Music.
Music, 100%. I mean, Talk Too Much by Dove Cameron. Yep. That is huge inspiration. I always tell people, if you don't want to do the outline and you kind of want to just write and see where the story takes you, do the big scenes. Put, okay, I have a big scene here and I wanted to go before this big scene. Now, how do I get there? What's that interesting, boring part? How do you get from point A to point B?
Yep.
But you still got to keep them interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I write. It's chaotic.
Nothing wrong with that. Everyone's got their own style, their own method of doing it. I want to get into the style of the late, great writer, director Larry Cohen. He was so prolific as a writer because he would just, whatever idea came into his head, he writes out the scene that made him think of that idea. It doesn't matter where in the story it is, but he writes out that scene and then works on what came before and what comes after.
And he's a puzzle writer.
There you go. So you have a kindred spirit with a very accomplished writer-director who in his time got a lot done. The man could churn out a script in a week. Incredible. So with that in mind, since you have your style, your method of writing, Have you been able to apply that to everything you've done so far?
Yes. This next story with the company, it hasn't been easier because mm-hmm. after publishing the first book, it was just a lot at one time. But after that waned, I'm like, do I have another story in me? I had a story in me when I first started writing Her Dark Promise. People have asked me if all your books are just basically going to be the same. You can only say things so many times. I'm like, no, it's my imagination. It's my spin. I call them border bullies. That was in a book called The Dream Giver. I highly recommend people read that book. It's about going after your dreams. And sometimes you get railroaded. You get stopped by these border bullies who want the best for you. So like, I don't know if you should do that, honey. You're taking a creative career. I don't know if you're going to, I want you to be successful. You should try to do 9 to 5. It's kind of like that. But then you have the border bullies of like, oh, you're not good enough. Oh, there's so many books out there. What makes you think you can write a book and be successful? You're not going to be Harry Potter. You have a lot of people throughout your life giving you that type of energy one way or the other. And it has to be up to you to believe in yourself enough to be like, no, I'm good. I think I can do it. Actually, no, I don't think I know. I do know because I am doing it. To feel the way you feel, you know, it's not going to affect me. It might for a hot second, especially during the days of low sales or no one's reviewing you. Your views on social media aren't getting the love and attention that you really want and need. But yeah, I really feel like going through all the trials and tribulations that came with Her Dark Promise, I've learned a lot and definitely am applying it. You know, I've also made new friends and new connections. And I mean, I have a special edition out of my book with a company, you know, so there's a lot of really amazing things that have happened that I'm definitely taking into the next projects.
Fabulous. Fabulous. So it sounds like you've gotten yourself a good writing community as well. Would that be true?
Yes, I love the community that I'm currently building, the people who are joining me for this ride. My editor is like everything I write. And I'm always like, I always have to tell her, I'm like, hey, it's just the first draft. And she's like, Bree, it's okay. I promise. You know, sometimes I get nervous with this company. They don't know me. They don't know my first draft and the struggles, the 2 years of what it took to get to this book. So I just have to tell myself, just give them a solid rough draft. And then we'll build from there. All rough drafts are, they're not the best, you know? So I just have to keep reminding myself, like, they've published so many. They know that first rough draft is going to have some problems. And it's okay.
So with everything that you have going on right now, you have this other book coming from HarperCollins. And then you have your other books that you're working on as well. What are your plans for Her Dark Promise beyond the page? Because we all have our own thing of just like, oh, I would love to see this on a streaming platform. I would love to see it on the big screen. What are your thoughts for beyond the page of Her Dark Promise?
So for anyone who knows me and is going to get to know me through my journey, I am a go-getter. I always tell people, and I want to be as humble about it as I can, but I'm very confident that I'm going to be successful because I'm going to keep at it. I'm always going to be doing book signings and this and that. Podcasts, I've done 20. So I'm doing all these things because I really want to get my voice and my work out there to more mainstream. Like when you hear Bria Rose, you're like, oh, Her Dark Promise. That's her book. Okay, let's get it. The next steps would be one day, big dreams. It's definitely on my vision board to have a movie made, a series made, people drawing fan art of my book. I cannot wait to one day open my socials and there just be Her Dark Promise hashtag and all of this art of my characters being made.
I remember seeing the cover of Her Dark Promise. Is that basically what the character is going to look like? Does that work as a template for people to create their own art?
I have a lot of fan art on my social media and I need to start posting it more so that people have an idea about exactly what she looks like. Her hair isn't exactly the way I would like it to be, but it kind of blends in with the background. So it's okay. She has beautiful wavy hair and hopefully I've done a really good job in explaining that she is a person of color. She is more brown. Even though this book is based in France, I definitely wanted my book to have diversity, not for diversity's sake, but that it fit and everything. So I definitely will be posting more fan art on my social. So keep a lookout.
This is something that I recommend to every writer that I've known. Since I was able to take this path myself and see it to fruition, audio dramas are a great way to get your story out there. especially now, because the podcast format has lent itself to creating, to opening the door for so many different people to take this format, has thankfully been kept alive by the BBC and put their own spin on it. And so we've seen stories that are about an hour long, sometimes 2 hours long, sometimes an hour and a half, sometimes even just a half hour, but they are likely condensed versions of different stories that are out there. I had the opportunity to take one of my own books that when you hear the audiobook, it was just over 7 hours long, and adapt that into a 2 hour long audio drama. And it was performed with a full cast. It had a sound effects library, musical score, and it was a full on production. We actually did this live on the Clubhouse app over two Sundays. It was a wonderful experience. We had people from all over the world taking part. It was easily one of the most fulfilling creative experiences of my life. I would definitely recommend doing that, because not only do you have that, not only are you able to, not only is it feasible for to do this, to tag up with the right people and move forward. There are always different voice actors that would love to be involved in projects like this. But by the end of it, a proof of concept, you have something that you can shop around and say, look what we were able to do. That's definitely an option you can put out there.
All right. So how does one do that? How does one get in contact with the right people or get their name out there for people to want to take part?
Where my own plug comes in, because I have I have a sister podcast called Excelsior Journeys Behind the Scenes. It's a 30 episode show broken up into three parts. Part one is about how I got into audiobook narrating. Part two is about how I got into podcasting. And then part three, which is episodes 21 through 30, it's all about the audio drama. And each episode is about 10 minutes long. And I went through in very detailed fashion the whole journey. When it was all done, it was magic. It was absolute magic.
I am definitely going to be heading over there because I am a go-getter. I have emailed so many people and a couple have said yes to my crazy ideas. But I always say, Kelly Clarkson, I'm coming for you next. I definitely will be listening to that podcast because I am very interested. That sounds incredible. Like definitely the next step.
Thank you. I'm glad I could help on that. So if there is someone out there, your style when it comes to taking fairy tales and giving them that reimagining, giving them that extra oomph, what is something you would recommend if they decide to go in that same direction?
Into the fairy tale retelling. Yeah. Do your research. It is a growing niche. I mean, really, Peter Pan, the whole mermaids thing. There's so many Peter Pan retellings out there. I would say definitely do your research. See what you can talk about. And don't let it just be Disney. There's so many fairy tales in general out there. I'm realizing that my career cannot be just niched down specifically to Disney. Though right now I am doing a lot of stories. I am definitely expanding to retellings in general. I'm going to eventually do a reimagining of the show Vampire Diaries.
Oh, fun.
Because I believe two characters should have been Endgame and they weren't. And I don't think that was fair. When you are doing these reimaginings, retellings, do your research and put the biggest spin that you can. You have a blueprint of how the story goes. When I do my research, I go like, okay, what is the moral? What are the themes of this specific story? Beauty and the Beast. For beauty is found within. There I mean, my girl Calathea is gorgeous, but inside she was broken. And that's where the beast came out. She lashed out. She was angry. It was her trauma making her beastly, you know? Yeah. So get as creative with as you can, whatever type of, you know, whether young adult, dark romance, like you said, there's modern takes. There could be a contemporary retelling of books, and you don't have to keep the genders the same. It doesn't have to be the same, but it has to have the essence of that story. So make sure at the end of the day, you have at least the essence of whatever you are writing.
Absolutely. That's a great way to look at it. Where can other authors or readers find you on social media?
I am most prevalent on TikTok and Instagram, and I've branded myself well. Everything is under Author Bria Rose.
Nice.
So AUTHORBRIARose. People think it's Briar Rose. I'm like, no, Bria. Yep. Rose. That is also my website. You can find everything from my socials to subscribing and ordering my audiobook. I have an audiobook that comes out next week.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. By the time you hear this, it will already be out. How has that experience been for you with putting together the audiobook?
Pricey. Besides that, it's
So you did not go the royalty share route.
I should have kind of, but it's okay. I am learning. I definitely paid for it out of pocket. But besides just the price, it has been such an amazing experience hearing my words said, like just said. It's a totally different experience. I'm blushing and I'm crying with these characters. It's no longer just in my head. It's beautiful.
It's someone else giving your characters their voice.
It's truly unreal. The female narrator I chose, her name is Grace Noble, and she is absolutely divine. The different voices that she could do, they're all so distinct. When she talks, she doesn't have to say who is who. You can tell. It's incredible. And then we have the very talented Jacob Morgan as the male narrator. Now he is, I always say he's a Taylor Swift of book talk right now. He's right up there with Teddy Hamilton of popularity of dark romance. He's very, he's got that growly voice. Do you like that? Do you like Jacob Morgan? Definitely order my book on my website specifically. It will be on the apps, but if you order through my website, you will definitely get a free ebook with it and a bonus chapter.
This has been a wonderful experience getting to know you, getting to see what's next. I hope that all of you are too, because I know that there are a lot of you that have been thinking about taking this kind of storytelling and giving it your own spin, putting your own unique words into it, putting your own unique situations into it. And that's something I definitely implore you to do, because there are so many people that are out there that will say, oh, every story has been told. No, your story has not been told. It is all about your voice, your presentation, your unique take on everything. It doesn't matter how old the original story is. Doesn't matter how many people have done that original story. But if something is inspiring you to grab whatever essence it is and force you a notebook or a laptop and just start writing and start creating, then they have obviously done something right. And who knows, maybe the words that you generate will be able to inspire someone else to do the same. And I really hope they do, because as I've said before, in these crazy times, we need your ideas, your vision, your stories now more than ever. So for Bria Rose, this is George Soroy saying Ever Upward, and I will see you next week.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of Excelsior Journeys. I hope it was both inspiring and entertaining. Special thanks to Zach Comtois for providing new music for the intro and outro. Please take a moment to leave a rate and review on Apple Podcasts. And if you enjoy the show, please share it with your friends and subscribe to your platform of choice by going to hesgotit.com/podcasts. While there, you can also fill out the application to be a guest, inquire about sponsorship opportunities, and click on the Buy Me a Coffee link if you wish to give your support to the show. All interaction is very much appreciated. If you have a question, comment, or suggestion for the show, please direct it to george@hesgotit.com.